As we look at Mark chapter 4, man, it's been a wonderful privilege for me to be teaching through the book of Mark. And during the week at Cornerstone, I'm teaching through the book of Luke. And so what a blessing to be able to dive into the ministry of Jesus and to continue to see how Jesus is at work and what it means to be part of his kingdom and what it means to follow him. In Mark's chapter 4, in this particular passage, Jesus teaches us how he changes our lives. He teaches us how he changes our lives. And when I first started reflecting on this passage and thinking through the passage itself, reading through the passage, praying through the passage, I was a little discouraged because I'm reading through the passage and I see these, you know, three examples of the Word of God not having an impact in the lives of people. And I'm seeing the lack of receptivity to Jesus, our King, and his kingdom and his message. And I was a little discouraged by that. And I said, Lord, help me to see this with your eyes. Help me to see this from a different perspective. The Lord answered my prayer. Because when we begin to see Jesus for who he is and for what he came to do, when we begin to understand the reality and the basis of the gospel message, and when we begin to realize that Jesus' word is a seed, and all of what that means, we'll begin to see just how beautiful this parable really is. We'll begin to see the beauty and the power of God's word. I was focusing so much on the three initial soils that I missed out on the beauty and the powerful fruitfulness that comes from God's word. So first, the first idea I want to lift in your hearing is that Jesus tells us a parable. He tells us a parable that actually compares his word and how it works in the kingdom to a seed. Can you say seed? Of course you can say seed. Seed. Jesus tells a parable that compares his word and how it works in the kingdom to a seed. Now, in the parable, in verses 10 through 12, Jesus actually tells us why he speaks in parables. In those verses, he quotes Isaiah chapter 6. It is in Isaiah chapter 6 that Isaiah has this amazing encounter with the Lord. Isaiah, it is known as Isaiah's call to ministry. It is known as Isaiah's encounter with the Lord. He cries out and he declares that he has this vision and God speaks to him and he sees God for who he is. And in that moment, he sees himself for who he is, a wretched and sinful man. He recognizes even the sin of the people around him, and he is forgiven by God in that moment. As God forgives him, God tells him that I am calling you and I am sending you. I am giving you a ministry assignment to a hard-headed, stiff-necked people. I am giving you a ministry assignment to preach my word to a people who don't want to hear it. I am giving you a ministry assignment to declare the truths about Messiah to a people who don't want to hear it. And because they don't want to hear it, because they have eyes that will not perceive, because they have ears that will not hear, because they've chosen to reject my message, the kingdom and all of its beauty that I want to reveal to them will be closed. Jesus said, I am living in such a moment where there was a rejection of the ministry of Christ. There was a rejection of the words of Jesus. There was a rejection. And over the last several weeks, I have tried to identify to you the lack of receptivity to the message of Christ. I've tried to identify to you individual groups as they've rejected the actual message of Jesus. Jesus, as he tells this parable, and he uses the idea of soil to speak to these groups of people that I've been telling you about. He gives an illustration. He cements the idea of people rejecting him. And he gives illustrations of these various groups of people and how they respond and how they're receptive to his message by identifying them with soil. As Jesus is telling this story, perhaps he's thinking about the very responses that he has received from individuals during his ministry. If you're taking notes, Jesus uses soil to represent the conditions of the heart and its receptivity to the word of God. So he compares his kingdom and how his kingdom works, his word as a seed, and now he begins to talk about soil and how it represents the conditions of the heart and its receptivity to the word of God. So let me tell you a little bit about seed as we go into looking at the soil. Seed has life-giving power. Seed has life-giving power. Write that down. Seed has life-giving power. When you look at the book of Genesis, Genesis tells us that seed, when it's planted in the ground, will produce after its own kind. It will produce after its own kind. It has the ability to bring forth life. And in this parable, Jesus demonstrates that the life-giving power of the seed is actually impacted by how deep it gets in the soil. That the life-giving power of the seed is actually impacted by how deep it gets in the soil. So there's four soils that are identified in this parable. You all know this story. I mean, it's a very familiar parable. Thank you, Kevin, for reading it in our hearing. And so many details. All I can do is just give some commentary on what Jesus has already explained. So the first path is along the path, the text says. With the first path or the first soil along the path, the seed doesn't actually get in the soil. And here, the soil represents the Pharisees and the religious leaders and all of those who reject the words of Christ and won't allow his word into their lives. It's along the path. The second we see is the rocky places. Here in the rocky places, the seed doesn't go in deep enough. So the first soil, the seed didn't go in at all. Here we see the soil not going in deep enough. And this actually represents the crowds. The people who are joyful and happy to follow Jesus, but they're only joyful and happy to follow Jesus because of what Jesus can do for them. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, feed me. Jesus, deliver me. But when trouble comes, they abandon him. Seed doesn't go in deep enough. And then the next soil is the thorny places. Here in the thorny places, the seed actually goes in deeper. But it goes in at the same level as thorns and weeds. And so other concerns in life end up choking out the vitality of the seed. It ends up choking out and making the seed unfruitful because it is concerned about other things. Last week I talked about this. Jesus' family represents this group of people. They were more concerned about what was going to happen to Jesus or what was it going to cost them. So they just said, he's a lunatic. This is a way to explain it and get him safe. They were more concerned about the cares of this world. Don't miss this. This is not just a parable about the Word of God. This is a parable that teaches us about receptivity to the living Word of God. What do you do with Jesus? See, people can get religious and want to study his word. People can get religious and want to know more and more about his word and yet not have a relationship with him. That's why one of the things that's important to the leadership of this church is that you spend time with Jesus. That you spend time with Jesus in his word, that you listen to him, that you relate to him, that you learn to love him and be loved by him. This parable is a parable not just about acquisition of information. It is about what do you do with the living word of God. Do I have a witness in the house? Here's my third point. I'm moving pretty quickly today. That's because I'm gonna spend a lot of time in my fourth point. Here's my third point. Jesus describes factors that hinder the fruitful development of the Word of God in one's life. So I don't want you to miss this. First and foremost, there's hard-heartedness. Hard-heartedness. Our own sinful behavior gets in the way of the effectiveness of the seed in our lives. Jesus goes on further to say, Satan. He's an adversary. He's like devouring birds. He comes through the air. He flies around and sees the word just laying there, and so he takes it and plucks it away, because our path is hardened. It's easy to steal. He says troubles and persecutions are like the scorching sun. It's in those moments that the seed hasn't been able to go deep enough, and the sun dries it out, and the heat destroys it. Then he talks about our competing loves, competing desires, and they're like thorns. It's the cares of the world, the lure of wealth, the lust of the other things. And like I said, looking at those three soils initially caused me to get discouraged. because I didn't see the powerful fruitfulness that's really evident in the seed, in the word of God. God shifts my focus to the powerful fruitfulness of the seed and the richness of the illustration and the message that Jesus is in fact communicating to you and I today. Here's my final point. Jesus promises, he promises powerful fruitfulness when there is openness and receptivity to the word of God. You see the capital W? To the one who John says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And later in that passage, John says, and the word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word is Jesus. So he talks about this good ground. That's the fourth ground. And he talks about this good ground. He talks about this good ground where the soil has been tilled and cultivated and open to what Jesus has to say, what Jesus wants for our lives. It's open to the Lord, giving every inch of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and to his word. His word is a seed, and that seed is intended to be planted. And the deeper that it goes into our lives, the more life comes forth. The deeper the roots that the word of God, the living word of God, the active word of God goes into the very spaces and places, every aspect of our lives, the more life, the abundant life that Jesus speaks of, comes forth. I mentioned earlier that seeds have life-giving power. And certainly Jesus has this in mind when he compares it to his word. Life-giving power. Because his word is life-giving. His word is life-giving. It has the power to create. How do we know? Genesis 1 tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it goes down in verse 3 as God begins to exercise creative energy, as God begins to create, he does it by speaking. And God said, you'll see that phrase over and over and over again in Genesis. And God said, let there be, and there was. See, the word of God is a creative word that when it is spoken, things happen. In fact, Hebrews tells us not only did he create the world by his word, but that he sustains the entire world by the power of his word. See, in other cultures, in fact, Greek culture, Atlas is holding the world up by the power of his strength. But Jesus is more powerful even than Atlas. He holds the world up by the power of his word. His word has life-giving power. Not only does it have the power to create, it has the power to recreate. James chapter 1 says it this way. I love it. James chapter 1 says, he chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. It was by the word of truth that you and I came to know Christ. It was by the word of truth that you and I were in fact born again. Peter goes on and follows just in line with what the Lord is saying. He says, for you have been born again, in 1 Peter 1:23, not of what? perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of God is life-giving. It has the ability to create. It has the ability to recreate. It has the ability to bring you into a new experience and a new reality. It's a kingdom reality. And the more that living word is active in your life, the deeper it goes, the deeper it gets into the soil, the deeper it becomes the controlling reality of your life. The more life comes into being. I said, Jesus teaches us how to change our lives. It is through his word being cultivated into our hearts, into our lives. I've gotten this thing, like I love working in the yard. I love working in the ground. I love getting my hands dirty. There's something very godly about getting my hands dirty. It reminds me of a God who's willing to get involved in the dirty and messy things of life. It reminds me of Creator God who digs his hand in the dirt in the creation of humanity. There's something, there's a new reality that comes to bear when we allow the message of Jesus to go deep into the roots of our lives. You see, the gospel is a seed. It's not just information. It is a seed, and that seed has power. And that power is waiting to be released in your life. Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because what? It is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. Paul does not say it is a power. It has power. He said it is power. God's word is power, and it's waiting to be released in your life. It's more than just information. It's the transforming, life-giving power of God. And when it gets deep down into your lives, it has the ability to release the power and the life of God in you. Do you see why it's so important to embrace God's word, to spend time in God's word, to understand what God's heart is, and to allow the transforming gospel to do its work in your life? See why it's so important. So many of us have gotten caught up in trying to weed our soil and trying not to be one of the other three soils. But I think there's a secret to having good soil. And it starts with understanding the gospel narrative. And it's when every aspect of the gospel narrative begins to take a hold of our hearts, when we begin to recognize that incarnation leads to the redemption of creation, when we begin to recognize that death leads to resurrection, when we begin to realize that there is a power in weakness and strength at the same time, when we begin to see the gospel for what the gospel is and see Jesus for who he is, it is that turns our soil into good soil. That's the promise. and the power of a seed planted in the ground. When a seed is planted in a ground, there is opportunity for power to be released. So just like I said, seed has life-giving power. Why would Jesus use seed to speak of his kingdom? It's interesting to me that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all talk about this parable. They all speak about this parable. The synoptic gospels, all of them speak of this parable. But John's gospel gives us a different perspective. In fact, John's gospel doesn't give us this parable, but it does give us this, John chapter 12. As Jesus talks about his coming crucifixion, here's what John records. It's John chapter 12, verse 24. Is that right? Yes. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. What is Jesus saying? Jesus uses this illustration of a seed. John gives us the explanation and the understanding so that you and I would understand that when the seed hits the ground, goes into the ground, the seed then has the ability to release its life-giving power. It's not until the seed goes into the ground that it actually has the impact and the capacity that was placed in the seed. Even agriculture speaks to the gospel. In fact, if you would just imagine with me way back in creation, when the first seed died, the resurrection was already planned. When the first seed went in the ground and died to bring forth a tree, the resurrection was already in mind. See, what Jesus is saying is that I'm the seed. Not only am I the sower in the parable, but I'm the seed in the parable. I am the ultimate seed that will go into the ground. I will die, and my life, because of my death, when I wake up, I'll become the first fruit of those of the resurrection, and that seed that went into the ground comes out with the capacity of many more seeds, a bountiful and fruitfulness like none has ever seen before. See, when God helped me to see that this seed could produce multiple seeds, and guess what? You and I, followers of Jesus, we are those little ones. We are those Christ ones. We are those many seeds that John talked about. The one seed went in the ground. The one seed died on our behalf. The one seed was raised to life with all power and all authority in his hands. And because he got up, good God Almighty, you and I now can have life and life abundantly. We can live this new life, this new reality. We can have what God intends because the seed went in the ground. Somebody ought to praise him right there. Somebody ought to thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his grace. Jesus says he's like a seed. Now, why would he use a seed? A seed can easily be crushed. I bet the devil thought he had crushed the seed. I bet the devil thought he had won when Jesus died on the cross, but he had no idea that he was actually planting Jesus in the ground. He had no idea that when that seed went in the ground, that it would die, it would germinate, and it would produce fruitfulness. in the kingdom of God. Now can you see the wonder and the beauty of this parable? Can you see the wonder and the beauty of the gospel? Can you see why looking at a story like that, knowing that you're not worthy, knowing that you're not deserving of God's goodness and God's grace, and seeing that he would do this on your behalf, can't you see how looking and observing that could transform a broken, hard-hearted heart, no matter where you've been, what you've been through, no matter what sins you've committed, that kind of love, that kind of sacrificial giving of oneself, that kind of emptying yourself for the benefit and the blessing of others, that kind of love would transform any hard-hearted, cold-hearted heart. Can't you see the beauty of the message of the gospel when you bring this seed in? It doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what you've been through, and it doesn't matter what journey you've been on or how far you've been from God. Look at him. Look at him. He'll transform that thorny heart. He'll transform that hard-hearted soul. Look at him, the author and the finisher of our faith. If nothing else, look at the power of the seed and know that Jesus is coming to transform you. If you're but willing to allow the gospel, the message of Christ, to get into every aspect of your life, watch it change you. It's a lifelong journey of digging in the dirt and allowing the seed go deeper and deeper. So it's not just about you coming here and hearing the message. That's important. I want you to go home and chew on it a little bit. I want you to do like the cow, throw it up, play with it in your mouth a little bit. Take it back down and do it again. Father, we're so grateful for the beauty of your word and just the opportunity to dig deeper. Lord, may our hearts be receptive to the beauty of the gospel. May it transform us. Lord, I pray that as we think about business, as we think about our work, as we think about our family lives, as we think about everything that we do, we pray that your gospel would go deeper. And that the life-giving power of God would come forth in every aspect of our lives. Lord Jesus, we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, the ultimate seed. Thank you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.